This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show. Final score from Qualcomm Stadium, San Diego. The Chargers 33, Jaguars 14. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We will take your calls following this Jaguars loss. Jags are now 0-4. It was the first NFL start for Blake Bortles, Jaguars rookie quarterback today. 29-37, 253 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. The Jags offense shut down in the second half, though. Turned away without a score in the second half after a strong start today. Phillip Rivers just too much. Those big plays against the defense got it done for San Diego.
Yeah, a couple of crippling third downs that they allowed him to convert into touchdowns. And really not a whole lot you could have done about that last touchdown pass to Malcolm Floyd. That's as pretty as you'll be able to draw it up with Phillip Rivers just lobbing that over the defense. Demetrius McCray in good coverage on that play. But Eddie Rolla got loose a couple of times. We were worried about that, JP. And I think really a quarter of the season gone now. And I'm frustrated about this game because I was so pleasantly surprised by how competitive they were in the first half. They really came out and traded punches with San Diego, set them up. You thought, oh, boy, really, you're going to fumble it right away. San Diego set up on a short field, and then the defense stiffened. I thought the first half the defense was noticeably better than it had been. The final tally, not good, 407 yards allowed to the San Diego Chargers. But I think today – what we're trying to find out, four games into this, look, nobody's happy with 0-4, okay? But are you encouraged about the direction you're seeing? What are you encouraged about? Are you only encouraged about Blake Bortles? Are you encouraged about some of these young receivers? Did you think the defense played better today? Overall, do you think this defense is a chance to turn things around? I mean, again, we're talking about modest improvements today. They gave up 400-plus yards and 33 points. Mm. So you're still talking about an uphill climb in that regard. But that's the thing. You know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been coming in here and we've been fielding call after call after call saying the fix needs to be go to number five. Well, number five is here now. Now that he is, what's your reaction to what you've seen out there?
That's a question.
We'll find out.
We will find out, I'm sure.
Well,
you know, a lot of folks are going to have questions, too, about some of the play calling offensively, especially late in this game. I saw a lot of tweets during the game that folks felt it was a little too conservative for the situation of the game. Shorter passes, this and that, some runs in some different scenarios there. What do you think of that? Is that valid?
Well, I think.
Or is that just what the defense was given at that point? Is that you got shorts out of the game? You're going to three receivers. How does that work?
We forget he's a rookie, right? He's a rookie quarterback, and there's a lot going on. He probably escaped several sacks today. I think San Diego ended up with three as a team, talking about Blake Bortles, obviously.
That's right.
And, you know, my issues with the play calling, Fred said he didn't have issues with the play calling on those short yardage situations. I really did with the first fourth and one, because you're in midfield there. You pick up that first down. You've got momentum in that point in the football game. And you put Denard Robinson in the backfield, and I think you're signaling to San Diego that it's not going to be that dive play with your halfback, because he's not that kind of guy. Now, they tried to come back on the next third and one, but thinking they only had one shot, 1 yard, didn't think they'd go to him. Blake Bortles tries to sneak it. I thought you put your offense in a situation where they were playing 10-on-11 in that circumstance. But, you know, I thought it was weird even at the end of the game. If you're going to have Blake Bortles drop back and shotgun and throw, why'd you throw a toss pitch on the first play? Unless maybe you think you saw something, you could break Denard and he could take it to the house. But in the end, you know, at that point, under a minute left, 16 points or 19 points down, it didn't really matter. It was just odd to me how that transpired. I know people are always critical about the play calling when it doesn't work, but I think I want to hear more from Blake about what he saw. You know what I mean? What was going on on those plays? Because was he checking it down because nobody was getting open deep? I think it's tough to tell on television sometimes what the intent of the play call is. Just like when we talked about the first 2.5 games of the year with Chad Henne in there. Are they calling the same plays, and is he just not willing to take those shots down the field? We know Blake is willing to take those shots.
Sure.
I've got to believe the coaching staff is smart enough to know that with time running down, you got to pick up some chunks of yardage at some point. I know Jeff on the broadcast said, hey, take 10 yards every time with about 6.5 minutes to go. I don't think that's going to cut it for you. I don't think that's going to get it. But if that's all the defense is allowing you to take, sometimes it's all you can do.
No doubt about that. Phone lines are lighting up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's get to those phone calls, Michael.
All right, let's head out to Arlington and welcome John in on the Scoreboard Show. John, you're going to start us off today. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
What can we do for you?
I didn't think there was a mystery about the Jaguars not winning a game this year or last year. So Bortles is not a factor. Doesn't matter who they bring in for quarterback. He's not going to help them win games. I wanted to ask, last year, did the Jaguars have any player go to the Pro Bowl?
Paul Posluszny.
As an alternate, yeah.
Okay, this year, do we have any player going to the Pro Bowl as a starter possibility?
Not right now.
Not from
the looks of it, no.
No. And next year and the year after. Now, I'm thinking that if the league lets you win 4 or 5 games at the end of the year, well, you shoot yourself in the foot by winning those games. You need the number 1 and 2 draft pick for the next 5 years. You need players. And the fans and the team, hopefully the coach and the owner, will be very patient knowing that you need a 5-year, we need a 10, 15 great players on this team. So when we go somewhere, they say, not the Jaguars are coming, so-and-so is coming, and that other guy's coming. When Seattle comes, they always talk about Sherman, whoever else they got. Plus, if you play at Seattle, you got to play against that 12th man. The Jacksonville Jaguar fans will never support this team big time until they win.
John, thank you for the call. Just, I guess, shut it down for the next 5 years, John, and pop your head up and see what's going on. Because, I mean, I don't know. That's, to me, look, yes, do they need guys that you have to game plan for? There's no question about that. Do they need difference makers? But this idea, they're not going to have anything next year. They're not going to have anything. Let's see what Allen Robinson turns into. Let's see what Marquise Lee turns into. We've barely seen him on the field. Look, I'm not telling you that it's a murderer's row of who they're running out there right now, but that's an attitude that just sounds to me like it's just never going to get
better. You know what? His glass is half empty, Mike.
I do believe you're correct in that assumption. Let's go to Super Cooper in Jack's Beach. What's up, Super Cooper?
Hey, Mike, JP, nice to talk to you guys. Wondering, was Toby Gerhart a mistake pickup for the team this year?
I don't know. A lot of folks, you're hearing that rumbling, right? I mean,
yeah, sure. Is he a good fit for what they're trying to do? Logman swears that, you know, watching the film, that he can run these plays.
You just got to block him. Right? That's the argument on that side, some of that.
Today he comes out, he gets that 9-yard run and gets the ball punched out of his arm.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Not good.
Clearly to me it seemed like the coaching staff said, all right, we're pulling him out of here. And they gave Denard all the action for about the next series
couple
or
drives,
two.
Yeah.
Right? And so I felt he had a chance to get off to a good start today. I think you've had – look, I'm not going to declare that Toby Gerhart was a smart signing or a bad signing at this point in time. I think you've had a situation where it's been almost impossible – to run the football. By the way, you can look on the other side and say, all right, you had Brandon Oliver go 9 carries for 23 yards. You had Donald Brown 10 for 19.
Yeah.
It's a very Jaguar-esque line. The difference is their defense didn't give up explosive play after explosive play. Phillip Rivers, on his 39 attempts, threw for 377 and 3 touchdowns. Blake Bortles threw for 37 attempts, 253 and 1 touchdown. Now, goes back to what the previous caller was saying.
Yeah.
Do you have enough playmakers around you? Right now they don't. I get that, but I don't know. In the end, this is one, up to this point, I think you can legitimately question, was Toby Gerhart the right guy to go out and sign, because they've gotten nothing done on the ground so far. But I think 4 games into the season is too early to make the definitive call on that.
All right, let's just go straight statistics here.
All right.
Not that this is the telling sign or anything. I'm just, for argument's sake, career 4 years entering this season, 276 carries for Gerhart, 1,300 yards. That's an average of 4.7 per carry, mostly in a backup role in Minnesota. This year, 44 carries, 114 yards. That's 2.6 per carry in 4 games. Stats, I mean, it's the line, it's him, it's the offense. It's a little more than that, I think. But is this, I don't know, it's becoming more of a trend than you'd like.
Well, certainly it is. And, look, here's when Maurice Jones-Drew was playing behind Fred Taylor, you looked at his average yards per carry, it was astronomical, right? Because you come in against defenses that have been worn down a little bit already. So I think some of that clearly is going on in Minnesota.
Makes sense, totally.
But when Maurice got in here, you know, right from the jump, he wasn't a 5-point whatever yards per carry guy, but he was consistently in the mid-fours and, you know, clearly carried over what you expected. Toby hasn't done that so far, and he hasn't shown burst. Keeping in mind, we don't know how healthy that ankle is, although he's gotten progressively better on the injury report, practicing in full. So, I don't look, guys get banged up in the NFL. I don't think you can use that as an excuse with him at this point in time.
No, I agree.
All right, let's get one more
call
in
before the break.
Let's go to Ronald, who's at Ohio University right now. Hi, Ronald. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. What can we do for you?
I was just calling because, concerned about the defense, because of the youth of the defense, about them giving us explosive plays. I just want to get your opinion about what you think the main problem is, because, my guess, I'm just thinking maybe they're not understanding the concept. Like, at one time when third and nine, whenever Rivers was in that shotgun, defense was like in a cover three. And so me and then, like, he's going to try to throw under him to get his first down yardage, but it seemed like they don't understand how to play the first down yardage in order to stop teams on third down. So do y'all somewhat agree with that? Or, because it just every play seems like someone is not doing their job.
Well, that I agree with, that last point. It typically has boiled down to early in the season, JP, one guy or one breakdown.
Sure.
That's
all it takes.
That's life in football, right? I will say this. Last week, I questioned, look, if you're not going to get to the QB and are picking you apart on third down, why don't you send some pressure? I thought Bob Babich tried to do that today. Problem is they didn't get home, right? San Diego did a good job picking up the blitz, and Phillip Rivers ate him alive. You get a veteran quarterback and you blitz him, and they're able to pick it up, you're going to give up big plays in that circumstance. I don't know what the answer is because Chris Clemens, practically invisible today, okay?
Yeah.
Just the pass rush kind of gets around him, but there's enough of a pocket. You never saw him panic in there. He always knew he had enough time to get rid of the football.
Remember, the sacks came from the interior today.
That's right.
It was Marks and Bryant met on the first one, and Miller had the second one.
That's right.
So
no pressure off
the outside at all.
Right. He stepped, and when there was, he'd step up and find time to – he doesn't fire it in there. He lofts it in there, but he knows where his open man is. He knows how to get him the football.
All right, we're off and running in the scoreboard show. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll come back with more of your calls. 33-14, San Diego over Jacksonville. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score in San Diego, Chargers 33, Jags 14. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Speaking of time and watches and timepieces and such, the Jags' time of possession actually led today, 30 minutes, 34 seconds to 29:26. So the Jags possessed the ball today. I mean, that's something we haven't seen all year.
You know why? They converted some third downs today.
Yeah, it's huge.
Pretty amazing. Actual final tally, 9 of 14
on
third down. That's pretty darn good. You'll take that now. 0-2 on fourth down. Obviously costly. But at the same time, we're looking at this like, why is the score so low? Both teams so efficient passing the ball, but yeah, the Jags go for one at midfield, come up short. You had San Diego getting ready to go for one at midfield, and they had the procedure penalty and punted it away. So there are just a couple little things here and there keeping that score down. But to be honest with you, not a whole lot of defense being played in that first half in particular.
No.
I mean, the Jags.
Not at all.
You felt like, boy, I think that's the thing. I want to talk to Blake. I want to hear what he says in terms of adjustments, what the San Diego defense did differently, if anything, what looks they gave him in the second half, because clearly much more productive going into halftime. And, a three-point game at that point. I had my hopes up, JP. I had my hopes up. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-NFL-1 if you're outside the Jacksonville calling area. Let's go to Josh in Orange Park on the Countdown Show. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Gentlemen, always great to speak with you. How are you guys doing this evening?
Great, man. Great. What's up?
Literally, I am very, very pleased with what it is that I saw from our starting quarterback, Blake Bortles. I saw the future right before my eyes this afternoon. I mean, I saw him keep his eyes downfield, not get rattled in the pocket. Of course, he made a couple of rookie mistakes, threw a couple of bad interceptions, but hey, those are things that comes along with being a rookie. But he made some great plays and really put a shot in the arm for this offense. Defensively, I'm praying to every deity known to man that something can happen with those 11 guys on that side of the football, that they can actually make a stop on third down and long. When you're in a third down and nine plus situation, you've got to be able to win in that. And I see the secondary just continue to get torched each and every week. I see these linebackers can't flow and make tackles on those running backs out of the backfield. And I see the front four struggling to get home and making those sacks up front. I'm not sure what Bob Babich and those guys can do defensively, but right now something has got to happen. I don't know if it's going to take a Gus or a Bradley do your job speech, but something has got to happen for those guys on that side of the football to help out this offense.
I think they need more than a speech right now, right? I mean, you got to execute what's going on, and it just can't. There's just certain breakdowns right now that just kill you. The 40-plus yard passes on third downs, one or two guys in the wrong spot, or Rivers finds an open man. And like you said, no pressure from the outside on the defensive line today. No Ryan Davis, no Chris Clemens, no pressure at all on the outside.
Yeah, it's those third down plays that really kill you, though. You know, every time they handed it off today, at least in the first half, at the end they were able to they're trying to just run out the clock, and you got some of those extra carries piled on. They really didn't try to run it that much, San Diego. Every time they did, you're like, great, that's fantastic. They're not going anywhere. There's no push up front today, so they did a better job in that department. Donald Brown's not the type of guy who's going to push the pile much anyway. He's more of a finesse runner. I just thought they did a pretty good job getting him bottled up. But those third and whatevers, if you don't get to the QB, it's pick your poison right now, JP. When they don't send pressure, there are breakdowns in coverage.
Yep.
When they do send pressure, the blitz gets picked up, and it's even easier to pick them apart right now.
Yeah.
Let's go to Saqib on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib. Saqib?
I was really happy with Blake's first start, but can you explain to me, let me just say this, we lead the lead in sacks, that's what I heard earlier today, 12 or 13, okay? So somebody explain to me how we are so bad on pass coverage and we lead the lead in sacks. Why are we not getting more push? We spend all that money on defense and we can't stop nobody. Gus Bradley is 0-12 to start the first 2 years. When do we start questioning this defense on the defensive side?
I think we
are. When do we start doing that?
I think we are, and I think everybody is right now. Certainly the last couple of weeks, it's even – I think this will even add more questions to it. But I don't know. Five sacks the first half of the first game of the season.
That was an effective pass rush.
Yes, that skewed the number a bit because – we haven't seen that type of production since the first half in Philly at all. It has not been close to that.
No.
And I don't know why.
But today was more like we've had over the last several years. You get a couple sacks, and you average out over 16 games, you're going to get low 30s, which is what the Jags have been. So, you know, today you're going to fall into a couple of sacks occasionally. It's just one of those misleading statistics. Clearly, if you've watched this team since that halftime of the first game, the pass rush – other than a fit and a start here and there, just really hasn't been there, at least at the most inopportune times when on third down, you know, last week it was Andrew Luck, today it was Philip Rivers, just kind of got to survey the field.
Next week is Big Ben Roethlisberger.
He can do the same thing.
You bet he can.
As well. But I think, you know, Pittsburgh's offensive line, hopefully not as stout as certainly we saw today. I thought they did a terrific job again. You never saw panic on Philip Rivers. Not that you expect a guy who's been around that long to panic, but even when the rush was around him, you just got the sense that he didn't feel like they could finish him off.
Which is, you knew that about him coming in. There's no way you're going to rattle Philip Rivers. He's not that kind of guy.
No. But I think the same, for the most part, is going to apply to Big Ben next week. You just got to go out there and get it done. Let's go to Paul in Jack's Beach. What's up, Paul? How are you?
Hey, good evening. Hey, listen, I just want to say something to the Jacksonville fans. You know what? We are going to win next week. I just saw the worst team in football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defeat Pittsburgh at their home field. And you know what, Jacksonville fans? Look, this is a work in progress. We knew we weren't going to the playoffs, all right? But don't jump off the – you know what I mean? I'm tired of people trashing this team. And I'm tired of people trashing Gus Bradley. You know what I mean? I got faith in this man. You know what I mean? I got faith in our quarterback, Blake Bortles. I got faith in Toby Gerhardt. I got faith in his defense are going to work it out. And Jacksonville fans, have faith that we are going to destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. And I just, you know, I'm just tired of the negativity. I'm sorry, man. I just had to call in and rant. I believe that my Jaguars are going to win against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you guys think?
Yeah, all right. I like it. I mean, enthusiasm.
Well, I'll say this. I thought the first guy who called in today was ridiculous.
It was awful.
I mean, it was
a bad call.
It was just,
in fact,
completely
I just
over
said
the top.
It
was.
It was a bad call.
It was a bad call. But at the same time, you know, you can argue, well, what have you seen that indicates to you that this defense is going to stop anybody anytime soon? And maybe you're delusional. Maybe you. Maybe I should have asked Paul if he felt that way after 0-4 last year. And he had to wait another month to get that first victory. I hope you're right, Paul. We all hope you're right. We're all sick of it. But I think the better point he made is that Tampa Bay last week was losing 56-14 on Thursday Night Football. They turned it around this way. And by the way, Atlanta was putting the beating on them.
Yeah, they were.
They go to Minnesota, and they get handled by a rookie quarterback. Tampa goes to Pittsburgh, and they turn it around. But you got to go out and do it, right? I mean, the one thing for Tampa, they were without Gerald McCoy last week. He did play this week. I don't think one guy is making up, right, that complete turnaround. But just because other teams have done it doesn't mean in your circumstance you're going to. But it does show you in the National Football League that it should be able to be done. Nobody should get beat the way the Bucs got beat last Thursday. But you shouldn't necessarily expect a team that gets beat down like that week in, week out, to turn around and get a win on the road. Jags get the Steelers at home. I think they've got an excellent chance. I'm not going to guarantee victory for them. I know Freddie came within a step of doing just that. But I hope you're right, Paul.
By the way, Romo to Williams, touchdown, 7-0 Dallas early in the primetime game. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars, the scoreboard show. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to your calls. And a scoreboard update. All that and more coming up on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Yes, it does. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Taking calls after a 33-14 San Diego win over Jacksonville. Blake Bortles' first NFL start today. But Phillip Rivers had a huge day, too. And the Jags are now 0-4. The Chargers are 3-1. Score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further.
It's not the record, I think, that bothers people so much. I mean, again, especially coming into this game. It is 0-4, and it should bother you. But
right. If
the game went the way the first half went, and it ended up 34-28, I think people would say, wow, you know, we went toe-to-toe with San Diego on the road. They'd feel a lot better. That's why I think the second half was as disappointing as it was today. You know, if they kind of spread out their productivity across 60 minutes, I wouldn't feel quite as bad.
That's the frustrating part, because you've seen glimpses, a half here, a half there, a few drives in a row here, but then the second half happens, and something just changes. The Jags offense can't get anything moving consistently. The defense giving up big plays, and it's the way it's been. Just got to put a whole game together. It's easy to say, tough to do, put a whole 60 minutes together. They haven't done that yet.
Let's get back out there. 355-NFL1. Mike is in Mandarin. He's on the scoreboard show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good, man.
Hey, guys, quick question here. Kind of going into your point here about how our second half kind of collapses. My whole thing is watching this game, and I turned it off in the fourth quarter. I couldn't watch anymore.
Oh.
But watching that third quarter, is that more of the play calling? Because, like you said, the dynamic kind of changes there from that first half to that second half. And I just don't understand the play calling there. You have, two runs up the middle, and Gerhardt can't, and nobody can get to the outside. It's just frustrating watching these guys play, and such a dynamic changes so quickly from the first half to the second half. I just don't understand some of that play calling by Jed Fish. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, again, in terms of the passing plays, I don't know if he's calling anything that's that different than what he called in the first half. And San Diego may have made some adjustments to take some of that stuff away.
Yeah, we'd have to hear from those guys, hear from Gus tomorrow, and then the guys on Wednesday.
But this, JP, even though the numbers weren't big, you had the feeling watching this game, you and I together, that the running game was doing more in the first half than they had done this year.
No doubt about it.
So I don't think you come out in the second half in a three-point game in a close game and just abandon the run. You know, coaches cannot go – At that point in the game, I didn't think they could go with the idea that, well, we're not getting anything done in the running game. Forget it. We're just got to drop back and pass every time. You're going to make it that much more difficult on your rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and even when San Diego scored that opening drive, you know, you mentioned it at halftime. Hey, we need to stop here because it's going to be a two-score game. They ended up getting a touchdown after a nine-play drive, 80 yards. It's 24-14, but even at that point, you still got to do what's been going well so far.
But the margin of error should not be that tight for an NFL team. It just shouldn't.
That's true.
Right? I mean, because we did say that at half, don't get down by two scores. Stay within one score. You know, keep this kind of a chess match, and you get a chance to pull this game out late, or at least stay in this game until late. You do get the feeling this team gets down by a couple scores. It's swimming uphill, so to speak, to try to come back. So we're not able to get it done.
No.
Derek on the north side, you're up next. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
All right.
Hey, man, let's be real, man. This team can only play good for 30 minutes, all right? But I'm finna keep it more real. Man, you got to judge a book by its cover, right? Because Tony Gerhardt, man, he fumbled the ball on the first play, man. Come on, man. My first thing I said, let's get rid of this guy. David Caldwell need to take some credibility here, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to start at the top. Don't start at the soldiers. Don't pick up the players on the field. You start at the top, man. It start with David Caldwell, man. You know what I'm saying? This team needs a defense. This team ain't picked the first round defensive player since Derek Harvey, man. That's sad, man.
Well, there's some other issues too that they need to take care of the first round.
Yeah,
one of those was
the
left tackle.
Sad specifically that they haven't taken a defensive player in the first round.
Last year's draft, okay? That's what's available. Tackle was the pick.
Right.
You go left tackle.
Would you rather
have
gone Deion Jordan, who everybody was talking about?
He's not playing
anytime
soon.
He's been suspended two separate times so far.
So that's the pick. And then you go Blake Bortles, franchise quarterback. That's the pick. What do you want?
Well,
else do you pick?
They go out there this year. Cinderic Marks earned a contract extension.
Yes.
Okay, he played well last year. Roy Miller played hurt all of last year. Okay, so you've got some young guys backing them up. You go out and you sign a couple of starters off the Super Bowl championship defense that's been compared to the 85 Bears. Is that not – did he not sign good players there? I'll tell you who needs to be held accountable. Chris Clements needs to produce.
And Red Bryant.
Right.
Red's playing better, but yes.
Red's not going to – put up statistics that you're going to notice anyway.
Yes, I misspoke there. But yes, Clements, pass rusher. The guy had, 11, 12 sacks a couple years ago. He had a down year last year because he was banged up a bit. That was the word. But he came back. He had a sack in the Super Bowl, right? He's supposed to be the guy, a veteran guy who's helping the young group. He'll get some pressure on the outside. And
only time we noticed him is when he almost blocked that.
And he was offside on a third down play. What are you doing?
I hear you. Nick. Down at, is he calling from UCF? Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, run defense played really well today, it seemed like. But, Oliver and Brown are running the ball. Do you think that carries in next week? Because Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette
Blount out, right?
Seem like
they
seem like pretty good guys. But, do you think they're going to be able to hold them like they did today?
No. I don't expect them to hold any NFL team like they did today, to be frank with you. I mean, you shouldn't be able to hold an NFL team down that much. I think it was as much a product as San Diego just didn't really try to run the ball. That's not what they're going to try to do.
That's not their game, yeah.
Right, they're not going to pound you with Donald Brown. And so the numbers did look good, and they did a good job. Let's give them credit for stopping the runs that they did throw out there. They didn't let guys gouge them in the run game, but instead, what they did was they hit Oliver on several of those little quick screen passes and well-designed plays. All that is an extension of the running game, and they hurt the Jags with some of those plays.
You remember, Matthews is out. You got Woodhead's out. They got their top line running backs aren't in this game today.
Le'Veon Bell, as of right now, leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage. So, no, I do not expect them to perform like that against Pittsburgh's run game. But if they could hold Le'Veon Bell around 80 yards next week, as much as he gets the football, that would be a big step in the right direction.
We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's a 33-14 final. San Diego over at Jacksonville. More reaction after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Field goals for a firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Got some bad news for your sandwich eaters out there, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of knew that one.
No Scobie field goals today at all. Even if Novak was the Jags kicker, he didn't have one from over 40 today. So everybody's hungry this week.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You look at this, what did Novak have? He had 3 field goals today, right? So was it 4?
Yep.
All right, 4 field goals today, and they're all pretty short ones. So, again, even though you gave up only 33 points compared to some other weeks, that's a lot of scoring drives, ultimately. I know the Jags' offense turnovers set them up in bad field position a couple of times, set up the defense in bad field position. But nonetheless.
Let's get to some calls, Mike.
Way too many scores on the board. Let's go to Harvey at the beach. Hi, Harvey. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, so once again, Jaguar fan is searching for golden nuggets of hope after another loss. But here's the thing. For some reason, this loss didn't feel like a Chad Henne loss. And I hate to get on Chad Henne when he's on the bench now, but this just felt different. It felt like, you know, this guy Bortles can be the guy down the road. And, you know, going forward, I feel like the Jags have 3 spots they don't need to address. Quarterback, but unfortunately the other 2 are kickers, punter and field goal kicker. Everything else is open for a draft. And I know you guys are going to say, well, you know, we've got this guy Robinson, we got this, that, and the other, and they got potential, but yeah, potential is one thing, but we're beyond potential. We need guys that can get it done, and I understand, you know, a guy like Ndamukong Suh might be on the market next year. This team needs to go after somebody who can just step up and get it done. And, you know, that's kind of my little rant, and I'll listen to you off the air.
There's money to be spent, right?
That's a definite fair point. Right there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, year 3.
Got to spend some money.
You put in a 3 draft classes, including next year. Go and they supplemented it, but they didn't supplement it with that big money kind of signing. They've got the money to sign.
Yeah, they do.
Difference makers.
Huge.
On this football team. But at the same time, I know what you're saying. You know, you're tired of hearing about, let's wait for this guy to develop. But what are you going to do in the meantime? Toss them out for the next big thing, which is also going to take several years to develop? I mean, that's the issue. Right, or one of the issues that you're facing. I do think, you know, and maybe you don't want to hear it, Harvey, but I do think that these young receivers, Allen Hurns, maybe at the top right now, as many times as he's shown up this year, and Allen Robinson, because we've seen him more than we've seen Marquise Lee, give you a chance for hope. But, you know, look, it's nowhere near where it needs to be.
And back to a previous caller's point, right? I mean, he was trying to make the point, you got to – go for the I think the first caller of the night, the negative guy that we didn't like. You want to play poorly to get the high draft pick.
Well Robinson, how many high draft picks have they had?
Robinson and Lee were second rounders. They traded up for one, and Hurns wasn't even drafted.
And as we're talking, you know, here after the call on the break, you're going to cite the example of Seattle. How many of those are first top 10 draft picks? Hardly any of those guys are. So do you have to draft well? Absolutely.
Yes.
You have to find difference makers in the draft, but it's
no
not
matter
just
position,
about taking picks in the top 5.
Right. It's wherever you're slotted to draft, you have to draft well. It doesn't matter where that is.
Now let's just lose them all for the next 5 years, okay. And then we'll be ready to go to the Super
we'll
Bowl.
We'll be primed.
Let's go to Brad and Ponte Vedra next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, great.
I wanted to cover this as well because the guy was ripping apart our GM. In my opinion, we're still somewhat set back here on the draft process when our number one receiver got banned. I mean, do you guys feel the same way?
That's fair.
Instead of using 2 picks on other positions, we had to get 2 receivers to replace the one we just lost.
That's fair.
I do agree with the late picks with Seattle. You can't just lose every game on purpose because Aaron Rodgers is 25th overall. You can't just constantly rely off number one picks.
No, right. Anybody with a half a brain knows.
In the Seattle argument, we were talking about this during a break too. Third round quarterback, right?
Sure, third round quarterback, fourth or fifth round. When you talk about Richard Sherman,
defensive who's back,
prolific player,
yep.
Traded with Buffalo for Marshawn Lynch, traded with Minnesota for Percy Harvin.
So yeah, they stunk it up to get all.
They
those
certainly
guys.
Didn't live in the top 10 picks of the draft to assemble that team. Now that being said, you got to assemble a team, right, no matter what, wherever you're picking. And I understand the frustration of Jag fans. You say, look, some say be patient, Dave Caldwell inherited nothing. Well, other fans are saying, look, that's great, I understand that, but I've been suffering since 2008. This team hasn't gone to the playoffs. I don't have to be patient. I'm a fan, and I respect that as well. You pay your money, you don't have to be patient if you want to. But if you're going to have the attitude that we might as well suck for the next 5 years, then I would question your level of fandom at that point in time.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to Kevin. I said it. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny.
I heard you.
Next up. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. Good.
I thought Bortles did great. And I heard on ESPN, of all the rookie quarterbacks, he had the highest percentage completion ratio of any first game.
Yeah, he had the highest completion percentage in NFL history of any rookie quarterback making his debut who attempted 30 or more passes.
Right, and then, next week, Gase Sanders will be back, and hopefully Marquise Lee will be back. And, the door is wide open. And one pick was Cecil Shorts. His hamstring went out on him. And that was the only reason that pick happened. So I'll take your response off air.
It's a great start. I mean, for a rookie quarterback, great's too strong an adjective for the start today. Solid, efficient start for Bortles, 29-37. So that's what you expected going. That's what we talked about all day, right? I mean, he's going to make plays. He'll get out of the pocket.
He's
going to
make some
efficient
mistakes. He's going to make some plays.
That's
that
what
wow
happened.
You.
Look at the line.
I don't think anybody's knocking him, though. You know, and he gave you what he's going to get. I mean, look.
I'll tell you what I want.
Yeah, I want 450 yards passing. I know
happen.
What everybody wants.
It's the Chargers.
I get that. That's not look. The Chargers are good. They're very good.
They're a playoff team.
I understand that. But again, you watch the Bucks. Going into this week, you had to feel the Bucks were the worst team in the league.
They were not good. Yes,
56-14. They just got blown out. They went into Pittsburgh, and they switched QBs to Mike Glennon without very much input from Vincent Jackson until late in that game when he caught a touchdown. Didn't do much throughout the majority of that football game. They're playing with a rookie wide receiver in Mike Evans. They went on the road, found a way to get it done. Let's see how this team responds. I think this is a very winnable football game. Like Fred Taylor said, set your sights on the Steelers coming to town next week.
That's right. Next week, 1 o'clock Sunday here at Everbank Field, the Steelers and the Jaguars. When we return, we'll wrap it up on the Scoreboard Show. Fifth quarter is still on deck tonight, too. They'll take more of your calls on the late night program tonight, 33-14. San Diego over Jacksonville. We'll wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment, JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Scoreboard Show. No more calls here, but coming up, get ready. It's the fifth quarter show. T-Wig and Hacker will take your call, 641-1010, so you can vent about the Jaguars and the draft picks. For this team, everybody's mad about that for some reason.
I'm not getting sucked into the whole draft
pick. Not buying it. It's too early for the draft.
Right. Last year when they're 0-8 and it's the first year of the new regime, I was all on board with, hey, don't screw this up now. Right? You played as bad a half a season of football as you possibly could imagine and go out there and take full advantage of it. Well, they got the guy they wanted. Didn't matter where they ended up in the draft. Third overall pick. I think Blake Bortles is the right guy.
Park Ride Relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game day more enjoyable by providing hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. And it's now time for a Baptist Health Injury Report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Two major notable injuries today. In fact, the concussion Dwayne Gratz looked a lot worse at first than it was. He got up and walked off under his own power, certainly dazed by that hit to the turf. And Cecil Shorts III with another hamstring injury. We don't know the severity of that, at least haven't seen reporting on it yet. We'll find out. Players are off tomorrow, so we might not know. We'll know from Gus Bradley tomorrow afternoon. He's scheduled to speak with the media about 3 o'clock tomorrow. That's when we'll find out the severity of that, but That's not good news either.
No, great for Dwayne Gratz. He's able to get up and walk off. I mean, that's your biggest concern. Let's hope this guy didn't break his neck. He landed so awkwardly on the top of his helmet. And it just goes to show you, JP, you don't have to have a safety coming in from 20 yards at a full sprint to hit you in the head. He fell a very short distance on the top of his head and looked dazed as could be. With Cecil Shorts, I think if you're a Jaguar follower, fan, what have you, you can't anticipate him being back in the lineup anytime soon. It's been too on and too much of this all offseason and really throughout his career with the soft tissue injuries, but particularly this offseason here. And just as soon as you get him back, you felt, oh, great, 10 targets last week, no setbacks. Here we go again, another half game later.
Well, here we go again. The Jags are 0-4. They're welcoming in the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're talking during the break, Mike, and they've got some offensive weapons, too, in Pittsburgh, even though they lost today.
Hey, look, you saw Keenan Allen have a big day today. Antonio Brown might be the best. He may be playing receiver better than any other player. Calvin Johnson still, to me, when healthy, the best guy in the NFL. Julio Jones, guys like that that have that size to go with the speed. No one's having a better year right now as a wide receiver than Antonio Brown. Should have had 3 touchdowns today, possibly a long one off his fingertips. Steelers end up losing a 1-score game. If you thought you could catch them napping next week, coming off a home loss to the Bucs, that won't be the case. Jags are going to have to go out there and earn this one.
I don't want to see any of those stupid towels in the stadium this Sunday either. I'm tired
of
those. They're going to be just make sure they don't wave those towels this week.
However, you need to go about your business doing that.
Come on,
defense. Keep it legal.
Let's go.
Right. but get that done.
Just do it. You didn't
get
hear from
that done.
You didn't hear from us. Mike, well done, as
Same
always.
To you.
We'll talk to you this week. The fifth quarter show is coming up next. Our thanks to Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato here in the studio. Thank you for calling in tonight, too. For Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick. Final score, 33-14. Jags back to work tomorrow to get ready for the Steelers next week. That's it for tonight on Jaguars Radio.